All right, so I was asked to teach one of these seminars and speak on hospitality. Public speaking to me is terrifying. My heart is racing right now. I did not need two cups of coffee this morning. And on top of it, it's a topic that has been a slow and uncomfortable process for me over several years. So this is sanctifying all the way around for me. So I hope it's a benefit for all you ladies. Oh, hey, thanks. That's true. There's comfort there. So there was this one time I had some people over at my house and some guests, and one of my guests had to use the bathroom. And I realized after they had used the bathroom, I had not checked our only bathroom in our house, one small bathroom, that is well used by a family of seven. And so when I had gone in later on, I had realized, to my horror, there was little kid underwear on the floor, along with a puddle of water from the shower, pee on the toilet, toothpaste and dirt on the sink. So I was embarrassed. Another time we had guests over, and I had decided to make my own pumpkin pie from scratch. I was very impressed with myself and served my guests. They sat down, and they're like commenting on, oh, this is good. I sat down, took a bite, quickly realized that they were a bunch of liars. No, they were just being polite, but it was terrible. To this day, I actually don't know what went wrong, but I have learned that I never need to worry about that because Costco has pumpkin pie forever figured out for me. But my pride was hurt just the same. But all joking aside, it can be these types of things that can keep us from using our homes as a tool to serve others. I can't do this because I have too many kids. It's hard for me to keep a clean house. I can't do this because I have no kids, so there isn't anything for kids to play with. I can't be hospitable because I can't cook. I don't have the time. It takes too much energy. My home just doesn't feel like a peaceful place. I don't have the right decor. It's just not big enough. I don't even know what to cook or how to start. All of these thoughts can easily dissuade us from using our homes to the glory of God. Now, the temptation is now to fix these fears with a bunch of practical stuff, right? And practical stuff is very helpful, but it loses most of its value if it's not backed up with the right understanding of why we do what we do and the right intent. So to start, let's cover what biblical hospitality actually is. So hospitality is the act of being generous and welcoming. For biblical hospitality is the love of strangers and the refreshment of the saints. Being hospitable is not just having people in your house. You can talk to the same people, quickly leave church, and have the same close friends and family to your house to hang out. Now, while this is fine and that's fun, it's not biblical hospitality. You can even be hospitable engaging the new person and serving the saints even outside your home. But for today, we're just going to narrow it down a bit and focus on how to make the most use of our homes to serve others. So in order to do that, this is our main point, and if you have the handout, we need to grasp three essentials of hospitality so that we can use our homes as a tool to refresh the saints and lovingly welcome the stranger to the glory of God. I'm going to say Jack used essentials this morning, but I did not know that, and he did not know that, but I wrote mine before him, so I'm just going to say. But to say again, we need to grasp three essentials of hospitality so that we can use our homes as a tool to refresh the saints and lovingly welcome the stranger to the glory of God. These essentials will help us answer where it comes from, why we do it, and how to implement it. So our first essential, study the why. Where do we get our instruction to be hospitable? The Bible. As Christians, we need to have an answer to why we do the things we do. We do not get to let culture or family backgrounds or the conviction of others determine this. We let God's word determine our why. Because we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ on the cross, we seek to live for his glory in all of life. And the Bible describes how we can do that in many areas of this life. This is where the rubber meets the road. All right, so what does it have to say about hospitality? So there's several verses, and we're going to go pretty quickly. Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. In regards to the qualifications of elders, 1 Timothy 2:3 reads, "Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach." In a similar verse is Titus 1:7-8. So even though these two verses are talking about elders, these are something all Christians should strive for. So Hebrews 13:2, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So this verse is in reference to Abraham in Genesis 8:18, as he was generous and went out of his way to be hospitable to three strangers that went to visit him. So in regards to our heart attitude towards hospitality, we have 1 Peter 4:9. "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." That's an ouch, right? There are also several passages all throughout Scripture where hospitality is not directly stated, but it's implied, right? So when Jesus sent out his disciples, actually, Pastor Jack talked about this morning. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he assumed that they would depend on hospitality as they traveled. You have Matthew 10:10-14. You have Mark 6:7-10. In both these passages, Jesus is telling his disciples to go out, take nothing with them, right? They're just relying on the simple means of the hospitality of others. So hospitality was just an early church practice. It's what people did. Peter and Paul relied heavily on hospitable people during their missionary journeys, right? In Acts 16:15, we read of Lydia opening her home to Paul. And in Matthew 25:33, we have Jesus who is speaking to his disciples and was referring to when he would come again and greet the faithful believers. So in this passage, he says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.'" We can even now narrow this down a little bit more and look at a couple verses on how we're to love people while they're in our home, right? This includes our families. So we have in Matthew 19:19, and again in Matthew 23:39, and in Mark 12:31, we are told to, what? Love our neighbors as ourselves, right? This includes husbands, siblings, children, all the people in your house, right? And 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, the love passage, let me read it. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Right? So this tells us how to love. Okay? Your home is the most served and can be the most useful to serve others when we're applying this, and when we're regularly repenting of sin and striving to grow in our faith. If we seek to honor God by living out the gospel to our spouses and kids, then there can be peace even when life is chaotic, and therefore then be refreshing to others. All right, now I just did a really quick overview of like a bunch of different verses because we only have so much time. So I encourage you all to take time to study these verses yourself. Don't take just what I say. Go look them up, read them, study them. So you're just more deeply convicted of God's word and more deeply know his character, right? This is going to give you what you need. It's going to give you the why to why we do hospitality. So hospitality, the welcoming of strangers and refreshing care of the saints, is not only clearly stated in the scripture, but is implied many different places. It was just a regular part of the life of the church, of the ones who love the Lord. So it makes sense that for those who love Christ, we should desire to love other eternal souls. We should seek to make the stranger our friend so that they can become part of our family in Christ. So we now know the why of hospitality so that we can use our homes as a tool to refresh the saints and lovingly welcome the stranger to the glory of God. Now let's look at our second essential. So on there, it's second essential, solidify the objective. After we study what the Bible has to say, and you ladies have looked through this and read it, and have been convicted by the Bible, you're going to take all of that and let it shape your objective so that we can be purposeful with our homes. So in Scripture, we see the welcoming of the stranger, the breaking of bread, the encouragement of the saints. Needs were met, spirits were encouraged, and God was glorified. We do not read of pristine homes and extravagant meals, although there may have been some, right? We don't read this because then the host gets the glory. Those things are great, but can easily distract us. In welcoming the stranger, or just someone we just don't know well, we're able to get to know them and be a gospel witness if they don't know Christ, and be a means of encouragement if they do. God's glory is our objective. God is glorified when the gospel goes out and when we reflect his character to others. So while Christ loved and welcomed us when we were strangers, we are called to do the same. So God is also glorified when we are encouraging the saints by sharing what the Lord is doing in our lives and pushing each other to continue to live for his glory. So we need to know that we're not alone. Humbly opening up our homes helps keep us and others accountable in many different areas. It allows for us to talk about what it looks like to honor God in all the different aspects of our lives in an informal setting. Simply put, we glorify God in this life better together. We want to humbly use our homes for the glory of God. So here are some different practical ways this can happen, right? Find a new person or family, invite them over. Invite some church family that you just don't know well. An easy way to do this is go to a different service than you normally go to. And if you normally go to First, go to Second. It's almost like a different church. There's so many new people, people that you might have been coming for years and you just haven't met. Get to know the people that you serve in the same ministry with. Have them over. This is a fun one, okay? Invite three groups of people over. You have a new person or new family, someone who's been here for a little while but isn't really new, right? And then have a gracer that's been here for a long time. Preferably people who don't know each other, and have them all together so that they get to know each other. You could invite a shepherding elder over with one or two other families that would be in his shepherding sphere. Once people are at your home, ask good questions and show interest in their lives. Examples, what do you like to do for fun, right? It's a good one to start with. How did you start coming to the church? How did you hear about it? How did you come to Christ? How did the Lord save you? If a couple, how'd you guys meet? Love stories are just fun. Everybody likes to share those, right? Another one, how could we be praying for you? It is easy then to get into gospel conversations. This is where people open up and you really get to know them and everyone is blessed. We once had three different couples over at our house and heard six different testimonies of God's faithfulness. That's amazing. You're able to see the Lord working in different lives with very different backgrounds and very different ways, and then you can praise him for it. God gets the glory. So once we've solidified our objective, which is to use our homes to welcome the stranger and refresh the saints to the glory of God, we can then view everything we do in terms of reaching that objective, which leads us to our third essential. Simplify to serve. So this is where a lot of practical stuff comes in. Simplify to serve. Hospitality becomes very complicated when our pride gets in the way. But humility says, I want to serve others to the glory of God. If our intent is to make much of ourselves so that people will think more of us, then we will make things complicated and not even realize we're doing it. I can say this because I have been very guilty of this many times. Yes, I have spent hours being concerned over dirty baseboards and windows with finger, nose, and mouth smudges on them. And then I'm in this like overwhelmed, I can't do this, there's too much to do mood. But if our aim is to make much of Christ by refreshing other believers and loving strangers, we will keep it simple. So how does this play out practically? All right, here's a lot of practical stuff. Pride that complicates, right from the start, will think, I can do this without God. You will therefore forego reading and praying. There's other things to do, right? You will be defeated before you start. Humility that simplifies will make it a priority to learn about the character of God and turn to Him in prayer, giving us the right perspective to even begin. In regards to welcoming the stranger and refreshing the saints, pride that complicates will avoid the stranger because you will be afraid you don't know what to say or what to talk about. You will worry about looking awkward. You don't want to be embarrassed because you met them once and you don't remember their name, right? Guilty. Humility that serves will ask for their name again because you want to know the stranger. Humility recognizes that it just is awkward and uncomfortable sometimes to meet new people. And that's okay. You roll with it because you care about souls. Pride that complicates will confuse refreshment with a visibly relaxing environment and quiet, resulting in getting overwhelmed with too many toys and mismatched decor. Again, you will quit before you start. Your pride keeps you from your objective. It makes you overwhelmed and angry and bitter in trying to accomplish it. But humility that serves recognizes refreshment does not always mean quiet or pretty. Humility recognizes that we can offer soul-refreshing fellowship and care, regardless of whether it is loud or the toys mess with the feng shui of the room. We just need to be intentional. And we can be intentional even if we have no kids or a bunch of kids running around the house making noise. Even if our house is huge or it's very small. Even if we have projects that aren't finished and all of our furniture is mismatched off of Facebook Marketplace, there can still be refreshment of souls. So in regards to cleaning, as I confessed before, pride that complicates will say you need a pristine house. That will exhaust you and you will be frustrated when it gets wrecked. And it will get wrecked. You will be concerned that all your shelves are dusted because you want your guests to see how much you have your life together. You will get frustrated and overwhelmed before anyone steps foot in your house. There was this one time, my 11-year-old, he's now 11, he was 6 months old at the time, and I had just had my appendix out. I was just coming home from the hospital, and I think it was you, Marcia. I think you were coming over to my house to help me take care of Theo, because you have your appendix out, you can't lift anything. And so I get home, I'm like, I have someone coming over. I need to vacuum. Because I was concerned that someone would see the dog hair on the floor. That was my pride. I was going to vacuum as soon as I got home from the hospital. Pride. But humility that serves keeps it simple. Your house will not be perfect. It's simple. In serving others, you just want them to feel comfortable. So this is a simple check. When you go to a restaurant, what makes you comfortable and what grosses you out? Okay? A clean bathroom and kitchen makes us feel comfortable, right? I didn't say spotless. It does not have to be spotless. But just clean enough where people are not grossed out being there, right? Wipe down the kitchen counters and bathroom. Clean off the furniture so there's a comfortable place to sit. All right, in the area of food, pride that complicates will either say, I can't cook, so I can't do this. Again, defeated before you started. Or, I will take care of everything. I want them to know how good of a cook and how much together I have it. So in order to impress, you will complicate what you serve. You will spend so much money, time, energy for your own glory. Humility that keeps it simple will not let food keep you from serving. People like to bring stuff, so let them. One time we had several families over and I decided I'm gonna do all the stuff. I'm gonna do everything. And it was enough for 20 people. So I had enough dessert for 20 people. People wanted to bring stuff. So all three families brought dessert. Again, they all brought dessert each for 20 people. So at the end, we had enough dessert for 80 people. And hardly anyone ate dessert. So it was fun. But keep the food simple. So prep and cleanup is simple. When you keep things simple, it's much easier to be excited about opening your home, and you can sustain it regularly. Prep before. Paper products. Let people help. Simple meals. You can ask people for recipes. There's been so many times Jack and I have picked, where's Tina? I saw Tina in here. Tina and Wally's, oh yeah, Tina and Wally's brain. So many times, right? And that's great. It's okay, and it's okay if things are not homemade. This might be a surprise to you, but I do not make my own sourdough bread. I really want to, but I'm not there yet. But I very much enjoy that other people do. Like, I love other people's sourdough bread. So obviously, if you've been gifted with being a great cook and you think this is a way you can serve others and it doesn't overwhelm you, then by all means, get fancy, do all of it, and give God the glory. I've been greatly blessed by these people. But don't let food stop you. Here's a lot of other just like practical stuff. And again, this is a lot of preference. You know, take what you want and what works for you. This is just what has worked well for my family and helping us keep our objective. Get kids in on the fun. If it's part of your life, make it part of theirs. Get them excited. Invite new people with friends. My kids love it when there's people with new people with kids. They're like, how old are their kids? And then they get to play. Let them help you clean, prep food. It will take a bit of training, but if they each know they have a part to play, they are invested. Boys can set up and take down chairs. Younger ones can grab drinks for people and help clean up toys. When people leave my house, we have a saying, okay, let's rein in the crazy. And everyone joins in to help clean, and it gets done quick. You could even listen to music as you do this and make it a dance party. That's fun. Another tip that's worked well for us is we cook a lot of rice. It goes a long way. Kids like it. It's gluten-free. We have a rice cooker with a delay setting on it, and that's clutch. I set that before I leave for church, and I have perfect rice, just the amount I need when I get back. Amazing. And it was easy to clean, too. So for recipes, I like to use allrecipes.com, and then I pick people's brains. Fall and winter, we do a lot of soups, chilies. We do this because you can feed a lot of people. You can put it over rice so it stretches, right? Sometimes you have teenagers, and they eat a lot of food. And a lot of those you can make the day before. So I'm prepping the day before, and then I'm just warming stuff up, like if we have people over on Sunday. In summer, we grill a lot of hot dogs, hamburgers, marinated chicken, slow cooker pulled pork for pork tacos. We tend to invite bigger families with multiple young kids in the warmer months so they can have fun outside. You can be creative. Everyone bring their favorite frozen pizza, right? Something different. It doesn't have to be for a full meal. Could be a dessert or snacks or coffee. Nor does this have to be an all the time thing. Figure out what works for you and your family. So I see I have my youth group girls. I have several youth group girls in here. Actually, there's some in the back. They're all over. This is a good way for older kids to get involved too, is that take on, if there's little kids there, play with them. Right? Take that's your way to serve. You're going to free up the parents that are coming over by taking care of their kids, taking them outside to play. I have been so blessed when we've been at people's houses and older kids have like played with my kids, because then you get to have the adult conversation that sometimes your soul just really needs. So that's a great way for you to serve. And when kids can get involved and be like, all right, this is how I'm going to lovingly serve the people coming over to my house, that's fantastic. They're being a blessing, and they are then blessed by it. Honestly, I feel like we often can care so much about all the things, right? We have people coming over. I need to have everything together. My food has to be perfect. If you're hosting, you tend to overthink it. But in reality, no one pays attention to that stuff. I will pay attention to the dust on my shelves. I have never noticed it when I've gone to somebody else's house. Nobody ever notices, nor have I really critiqued anybody's food. You could give me dry cereal. I didn't make it. I don't care. And so we tend to hold the standard on ourselves that you're like, that's not reality. People just want to be around other people. Christians want to be around other Christians. They want to fellowship. And food just tends to be a way to be able to do that. But it's not the focus, nor is your home the focus. It's the fellowship. It's the sharing life together. So finally, have fun in serving others. It is a privilege. Humility keeps it simple by keeping God's glory as your objective. Pride will complicate things. It will rob the joy out of serving. So in Scripture, we've discovered the why of hospitality, and from there, we're able to form our objective, the glory of God through welcoming the stranger and refreshing the saints, leading us to then serve with humble simplicity. This was an area of a slow area of growth in my life. It was not easy. It was a constant putting to death of my pride, and still is. I used to feel overwhelmed, exhausted, defeated before anyone stepped foot in my house. But in serving with the simple view of God's glory and not my own, I have grown and I have been so richly blessed. I have been more served by those who have entered my house than I have served them. I've had my soul encouraged by watching strangers to Christ become part of his family. So before I open it up for questions, let me challenge any of you who might still be kind of skeptical of this whole hospitality thing. I encourage you to try it and trust in the faithfulness of God as he grows you, and he will grow you by serving others. It might be hard and uncomfortable, but so are many things in the Christian life. That doesn't stop us. It is worth it. And for those ladies who are already using their homes as a tool to serve the family, their families, the church, and others, continue to fight pride and serve with a simple goal of bringing God the glory by welcoming the stranger and refreshing the saints. So now I think, okay, I left enough time. What I targeted for questions. All right. So now questions. Don't make them too challenging. Yes. So we've done it several ways. We've done it where we've planned, we'll message people and try to be intentional, like, okay, let's have these different people over, and I might text them or have my husband text them. But sometimes stuff still comes up. Someone's kid is sick the night before, whatever. And on the other hand, sometimes I've just prepared food. Like, we have this food, it's all set to go. And if we meet someone new, we're just like, hey, we have soup on the stove with rice. Would you like to come over for lunch after? Like, we're going to eat around this time. And that's been great. Sometimes that works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Then you have a lot of leftovers and you can freeze them. So you really can go either way. Like, it doesn't have to, the invite doesn't have to be fancy. It's, hey, we were thinking of having some people over on Sunday or whatever day works for you. For a meal, would you like to come? And you can go through the directory. You can pick, all right, I know these people don't know each other, or they have kids like my kid's age, or whatever it may be. So you can go either way with that. Yeah. Any more? Oh, yeah.
I have a question. I just wanted to say, she lives this. I've been able to be under... just being at your house one day, and it was just, I was so blessed by being together. You're right, we just want to be together.
Yeah.
So by you not worrying about that, what an example to me. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. That was encouraging. Oh, thanks. It was a slow process. Yeah. That was Tina. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've learned to we really like cooking soups now, because we got a big pot that is like the pot that's in there. That thing, you can barely reach into it, and it's great. You can make a ton of stuff. Yeah. We have, yeah.
Structure.
Yeah, yeah, we can really overthink that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Marcia.
Sometimes it's a reverse situation. I've had people say, I know you can't, you and Bob and Amal, you can't get in our house.
Oh, yeah.
But we can bring it to you, and all I have to do is turn the doorknob. Isn't that amazing?
That's a great idea.
Open up the house, and this meal comes in, and yeah. Then usually provide tons for, oh, here's another meal or two, which is so sweet. So if you don't have a home, like you would say, I live with my parents, but I would like to do that, offer to bring a meal.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's the part of like be creative. There isn't like this set, this is what it has to look like.
Exactly.
Like
and,
you
and
yeah.
I will tell you this, you know, there are a lot of times you can ask my daughter, I can perseverate over things and she'd be like, you're all wound up. Yeah, I know everything. And then I realized, wait a minute, no one's gonna care how my house looked, what they ate, but they will remember how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they are loved, and you can sit there and breathe and say, I love these people and I just wanna be with them.
Yeah.
All the rest is fine.
Yeah. You're not hung up on the details.
Yes, and I'm sorry if I ever made you feel like you had a bad.
Oh no, you didn't. You didn't at all. That was all on me. Oh no, like I knew you liked our dog. You were fine with him, but he, yeah, no, that was entirely my pride. Like entirely my pride. Yeah, I mean, and I still struggle with that. I'm like, quick, I gotta get home to vacuum. People are coming over, so yeah, see you. Oh, good question. Well, surprise, that could be fun. I tend to try to let them know that other people are going to be there so that, because I tend to like, all right, if I'm fixing like a soup and I have rice, then I'll have someone bring dessert and someone bring like a salad. And so that way they know like how much to maybe to bring, right? If they're thinking it's just my family, then they're only bringing a certain amount and then they're surprised by now there's not enough whatever cookies to go around. So I'll let them know. I don't say who it is because, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily matters. Maybe there's like, all right, if I knew it was this person, I wouldn't come. Well, I don't want that to happen. So I want you to come and you guys will figure it out. So just knowing like, oh, there's two other couples, two other families, two other people coming, you know, maybe someone's new or whatever. If they have kids, I sometimes will let them know for kids, especially like for sometimes for dessert, because then they might just bring, you know, chocolate chip cookies. That's a good one. Everybody loves chocolate chip cookies or should love chocolate chip cookies. So any other, we still have 5 more minutes.
Nobody else is noticing the dust or even the dirty windows or anything else.
Yeah.
Like, we notice it in our own homes because it reflects our pride. It reflects our ability to take care of our house. But we're not looking at that when we're in other people's homes. We're just happy to be there, happy to spend time with them, happy to get to know them better. We need to get out of our own heads.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, it's totally our pride. Right? We're like, oh, we're going to have people over. Let me make this list of 100 things that I need to do that really don't matter, right? And that simplicity to serve, you're like, you literally need to do 3 of those things and you're all set. What you could probably do in like 10 minutes as opposed to you're going to take 3 hours to make sure everything, like your kid's closet is organized. Like no one's looking in there. And no one cares. And if they do care, that's like a heart check on them, right? So...
Plus, yeah. You're tired when they do show up.
Yeah, you're just kind of in this like, oh, do you know how much time I put into this, right? And then if you have people over who have kids, like, I know my kids can make a mess within 5 minutes, let alone if other kids come to join them. It's, you're like, why did I bother, right? So.
One other thing is that we shouldn't compare who had, you know, oh, so-and-so served this, so I need to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Or better. You know, I've said to people, a hot dog is fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with the food. It has to do with the building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we can easily overcomplicate it. Like, it has to be like this. I had this at this person's house, and it was delicious. And it's great. Like, it's great to want to cook delicious food. Who wants to cook, like, food, right? But that doesn't need to be our focus. And sometimes you're just going to serve food that's like, well, that failed. So, and that's okay.
Another quick thing, that there are a lot of people that fear going to someone else's house because they don't want their kids to make a mess or be noisy or whatever. And it sucks the joy out of the ones hosting you. Like, if you have, you know, it's a quiet house, but you put kids in it, it makes it lively and little puppet. I'm sorry, they put fingerprints on the door. I'm like, I'm going to leave them there.
Oh.
I wish we could lick our door. I've also gotten caught up with, oh no, my husband's driving a tractor through their house. Do they really know what they're inviting over? And they'll say, relax.
Yeah.
Tina's mom's house, you've been to Jager's house. When you get inside someone's house and you don't have access to many homes, it helps us feel normal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just the body does a wonderful thing, but we overcomplicate it and get in God's way.
Yeah.
By just not either blessing or receiving that blessing.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That was like, yeah, that's a good point. We tend to get in our own heads. Yeah. Yeah, you could do, I mean, you could go either or, right? It's kind of fun when they get to know somebody different. That's like, that's good for them, right? They're, hey, there's another kid here, go figure it out and go play. And sometimes if I know I'm going to someone's house that they don't have kids, then I might even bring some stuff with me. If it's a nice day and I'm like, okay, bring a ball, you can go play outside, or some coloring things. If you have Legos lying around, that's always a good thing. I feel like I'm always going to have like a little box of stuff just for when people come over, right? Little action figures, those magnet tile blocks, those are epic. Stuff like that for kids to play with, but they can get creative and play with a lot of things. And so if they have another kid there, that's fun. But at the same time, it's also not all about them. And so it's okay if they're not playing the entire time. Right, that's okay. They can do other things, right? You can bring a game for them to play. They can just be a part of it, right? And so maybe, yeah, someone with like tiny little kids who are crawling all over the place, maybe they're not going to stay as long, and that's okay. And so, yeah, just don't let those things like stop you from doing it. Yeah, and just be creative. Yeah.
And I was like, I went out for a
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it can be our pride of like, I can't give them this. I mean, and if you want like to do dishes and stuff, that's fine. Like some people really like doing that. That's great. Yeah. And you can also have people help you too. There's sometimes where people are helping me clean up my kitchen and talking to me. And you get into some pretty good conversations doing that. And so it doesn't have to be, no, you can't do anything. It's like, sometimes people want to help. When I'm at someone's house, sometimes I feel like I should do something. I'd like to do something. I don't even know what to do with my hands. I'm just like, can I help you clean something? And then I just feel better that they don't have this whole mess. And so let people help. I know it affects your pride, but like, let people help. Yeah.
I'm going to just say that when I've had people over, one person specifically, and I won't name her, will like walk over to my sink and start doing my dishes. And I like want to tell her to stop, but then it's such a blessing that I just go alongside her to do my own dishes that she started doing, like cleaning up pots and pans. So don't be afraid to bless the people who are blessing you and give them an opportunity to be blessed.
Yeah. And then it comes back to that humility, right? Humility is going to, you're gonna serve and you're gonna be, let others serve you. And in both situations, that keeps you wanting to continue to do it, right? If you get done hosting people and you're just so exhausted and you see this mess, then what sticks in your head? I'm not doing this again, right? But if you are humble and you're like, you're putting that aside, then you're like, okay, I can do this. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say, Karen, that this has an impact in our lives, and I'm believing it that it has an impact in people that you don't even see, you don't even know. My own family, we came from a different culture, and we just have one family in the town, and they have been amazed many, many times, all my neighbors. Oh, because you are new here, and I see that you have people over, or people came, and you're going out, and my family asked me, oh, why did you spend Christmas? And I said, with church people. They don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And because this is the culture of, you know, the gospel, that they know that something is definitely different, that you have total strange people who are opening their houses for you, that has an impact that sometimes you don't even know, but that's a testimony.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I said, you would be one, and people would know that I am, just because you are loving each other.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that for sure we have so much to do, even for myself, this has spoken to me so much. But you are really good at that, the church has that culture, and I think that it's because of the gospel. When you understand that, you open your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so thankful, but I've seen that has impacted other people, that we don't think that Americans are like that, but Christians are like that.
Yeah, oh, that's like you summed it up perfectly. Yeah, when we're united by the gospel, right, everything else kind of goes out the window. And it's such a witness to, yeah, I have a lot of unsaved family. And for them to be like, yeah, where are you doing Easter? Where are you doing wherever? And we're able to tell them. And they see, like, you have people over, do you know them? Like, yeah, or no. Sometimes I know. Like, I actually don't know the names of the people coming over. But that's an encouragement to them. Sometimes it's so countercultural. They're like, wait, why would you do that? You have friends outside of your family? Like, that's weird to them. But then they're blessed by it. Actually, I think my parents, I feel like, have more friends at this church for meeting people than they do where they live. And it's just, it's very funny. But it's such a gospel witness, right? And when we're humble and we're like, we want to just honor the Lord, then, yeah, the world's watching and they see. Right? And so that's, yeah. I am now over time, but is there any, I didn't want to cut anybody off. All right, I'm going to pray for us and then we'll leave. All right, thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for just giving us your word to be able to point us to how we should live our lives. Help us to be sensitive to our sin and where we struggle with pride and selfishness. Help us to battle that we would not make this life about ourselves, Lord, and for our glory, but for you. Help us to have, to hold all of our lives, including our homes and our talents, everything with an open hand and give it to you in service of you for your glory. Help us to be a gospel witness to a watching world, to unsaved family members and friends, Lord. Help us to just honor you well. We thank you for this time together. I pray as we leave that you just bless all these ladies, continue to grow them for their good and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.